Hi, folks. Mike here with a bit of a good news, bad news kind of update before this segment of the B-roll starts. We were scheduled to be releasing our review of Spider-Man Far From Home today. Unfortunately, due to technical issues with my phone, that's not going to happen. It's taken me literally a day and a half just to get the video off of my phone and onto my computer for editing. And while it is there now, there's simply no way that I can get the video done to the quality level that I'm comfortable with and posted in the usual amount of time. So you should see that probably later this week. And let's be honest, since it was even recorded 4 days after the film was released, at this point, who cares anyway? So instead, enjoy this episode of the B-roll with a segment of last month's Dark Phoenix review, where Mickey and I went off on continuity in the film. And I am also going to point out that around the 12-minute mark, I did make a Nazi joke that, as much as it's really pretty inoffensive, I just wanted to give a heads up just in case, and when you hit that mark, you'll understand why, frankly, the movie had this coming. On the off chance that you haven't seen the film yet and are actually still interested for some reason, there are spoilers, but in either case, I hope you enjoy this segment as much as I did filming and recording it. Another thing I have to give this film credit for is that, as much as we've said several times, like, this movie's fucking stupid. I will applaud them for the fact that they warn you of this in the film and warn you very quickly.
Yeah.
Because one thing I couldn't help noticing was how the movie opens with essentially how, like, Jean's powers first manifest,
yeah,
and how she first meets Professor Xavier, and how she first comes to the mansion and so forth. Which, okay, the fact that apparently in this film world, puberty hits at 8?
Yeah, for no
reason. Wait, we gonna let that slide just because they don't really stay with that too long?
Some mutants need incredible trauma to come up with their powers. Jean needs to be stuck listening to the same damn radio station for 3 songs.
I couldn't help but notice that when you see the car driving up to the mansion for the first time,
yeah,
in 1975, and I want you all to keep that in mind for a second when I say this next bit. Professor X is driving.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not only that he's driving. It's totally cool that, like, one, I know a paraplegic guy who drives his car. That's not the problem.
No.
It's that you can see his hand going around the steering wheel. Professor X wouldn't do shit with his hands. He would be driving that car with his mind. Because he's Professor X!
Well, but to that I would say, he's strictly telepathic.
Oh, no. Like, in the comics, he used to fly their jet from remote.
Well, I would assume that Beast probably, like, designed a device of some sort. And if we saw, like, a 2-second scene of the interior of the car.
Yeah.
Or if this film was set in modern day, because, you know, like you said, you know a paraplegic who wouldn't drive a car.
Yeah.
And I could come up in my head with all sorts of reasons for seeing a paraplegic character driving a vehicle today without difficulty.
Okay.
1975!
1975 is definitely a fuckery.
I have questions!
And at that time, wasn't he, like, high on not heroin anyway? So it's like, how well can you operate that vehicle regardless? Not heroin.
with Days of Future Past taking place somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I could go Okay, maybe?
Does he go find Gene, then burn out? So, like, he's just, like, wasted on the couch, and there's this little girl, like, aren't you supposed to feed me?
And, yeah, like, even with that, that's one more thing, because if we had seen the professor in those scenes walking,
yeah,
then I could have said he's probably on those drugs, his powers have been neutralized. Okay.
Yeah.
I can look at continuity and go, there's a reason for this.
Don't look at continuity. Never look at continuity for these. No.
And then, as if that little thing wasn't enough, they, in literally the next sequence, insist on driving the point home. Because apparently, if you stick a bunch of boosters onto a plane, it immediately becomes space-worthy.
If you put red stickers on a bike, it goes faster.
Or if you use duct tape to affix an astronaut's helmet to your uniform, that uniform immediately becomes airtight. You don't need your own oxygen supply or nothing.
So what this movie proves is Nightcrawler has no butthole. Because the only orifice on his body is in his mouth. And that science.
Yeah, and like there are points where, and I need to specify with this particular instance, that I'm not 100% sure if this was actually the case. Mm. But when Gene is on the shuttle telekinetically holding it together.
I love how they didn't give any mention, explanation, or anything. She's just there and fine without a spacesuit on. And it's like, I can understand that Gene can do that. You should mention Gene can do that.
Yeah, like, just her being there was like Nightcrawler teleported her over.
Yeah.
How he can see through the window of a shuttle that far away is a whole other thing, but okay, fine.
A second beforehand, he's like, I can't see where I'm going. It's spinning too fast. So that means from, like, a kilometer away, he can see in a hole this big perfectly to avoid all the shrapnel that's in that gun. Like, and that's the way that he bamps in. He avoids all the shrapnel. There's nothing in his body. If you're going to set up a rule, stick to your rule. If you're going to break that rule, give clear reasons.
And I just couldn't help but think, okay, Gene is on this shuttle that is breaking apart without a spacesuit. I'm looking behind her, and I see spots where it looks like it's clearly open to space.
Oh, yeah. Also, if when they go back to the X ship, the background that they have is the moon. But it's like if you were in orbit over the moon. So the moon is super close, but they're in orbit over Earth.
I honestly missed that. I missed that.
Oh, it was so distracting because it even looks like a painted-on backdrop. It's not even a good one. You're just like...
That honestly makes that entire sequence that much more amazing.
Oh, and personally, I love that entire sequence, like, from the prologue to when Gene gets phoenixed, is so Batman 1966. There's something going wrong. The president picks up the special phone. It's got an X on it. Goes right to Charles Xavier. Professor X, send the X-Men! And then they zoom off to space in matching outfits. Yeah! I love it.
Matching outfits that, from the back, look like the uniforms from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
But moving on.
I love how cheap they look. I love it. Finally, we get a truly comic-accurate X-Men uniform, and it looks like shit. Thank you. Bless.
Like, you mentioned Charles's direct line to the president.
Mr. President!
The space rescue sequence is the moment where you should see that phone and think, why the fuck is that phone even there?
How long have these astronauts been in trouble? Because it launches off, and as it's being launched, NASA goes, some shit's up. And the president calls the X-Men, and the X-Men are watching a press conference of someone explaining that, oh, something's wrong with the shuttle. This has been 3 minutes since launch. And it takes less time for the X-Men to gear up an experimental plane that has new rockets that Beast specifically says, no, that's not how booster dynamics work. No, this won't work. Turns out it worked. You're the smartest person on the team. No one listens to you, and you're always wrong.
No, and not only that, but at no point he doesn't question the simple fact that the X-Jet, there's no fucking way this thing is space-worthy. None. They should have no way to get back to Earth.
They go to space with no spacesuits. Brilliant. Actually, I kind of really like that, because this film went out of its way to truly touch on the absolute underlying theme of all X stuff. Charles Xavier is a jerk.
Yeah. I do have to give them credit, because Charles Xavier is a fame whore for three quarters of this movie.
And it's perfectly Charles Xavier. Just, yes, he is that bad. He's actually quite a terrible person.
Oh, he is, but like with that, at the same time, they land back on a runway, a runway where apparently a large amount of the general public already knows where they're going to land, has had time to make signs demonstrating how much they love the X-Men.
Oh my god, I love slash hate movie protest slash appreciation signs, because there's no creativity into them. They're all so bad. It's just the name of a character or I love you. And it's just,
Yeah, no, and like people had time to make these signs. People had time to put cosplays together for their kids, mm-hmm. which as a cosplayer, I kind of respect that. I gotta be honest. But
I just pulled my kid out of school. I'm gonna slap him with blue dye, and we're going to the Air Force Base.
There were so many issues with even that, but this entire sequence, all I could think was, this is not how the core concept of the X-Men works in any way. They are never, ever supposed to be loved and accepted by the general public.
At least they intentionally set it up to fail. But like, the fail comes so fast. One incident, and the president removes his special phone. One incident.
Okay, you know what? We're gonna have another a historic moment on this show, because I have never in my life made a Nazi joke.
Oh dear.
And this is the one and only time I'm gonna do it. Nazi Germany did not go to internment camps as quickly as the president does in this damn movie!
Decades upon decades upon decades of arguing about the fact, and he just goes, we are done with this shit! Get in the camps! From one incident in which one mutant dies. A mutant dies. No, those cops aren't shown dead.
No.
They're probably fine. Her father survives. There's minor property damage, which they consider the destruction of a community. And Raven dies. By the way, she gets stuck the same place Wolverine sticks her in the first film. And yet, she survives that and dies looking as if Jennifer Lawrence is literally counting down, in 30 seconds I'm done and I can take this off, in 29 seconds I'm done and I can take this off, and ooh, I've got a line. Ah!
And, after that whole thing, you hear in a news report that the U.S. government is setting up internment camps for mutants who have powers that they deem to be a threat to national security.
Yeah.
I can't think of the exact words,
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, these are mutants that they're declaring weapons of mass destruction. And I'm in the theater like, holy fuck!
Right? And like, what do you mean mass destruction? Okay, so theoretically, Beast, despite being able to design by himself a jet that can go into space, his power is not a threat to national security. So you just gotta let Dark Beast wander around because it doesn't match your stupid-ass guidelines. But because Jubilee technically makes shit explode,
yep,
Jubilee is a threat to national security.
Like, the mutant power callers apparently were really easily accessible in storage.
Yeah, you just have them around, even though you very specifically have turned your policy to the point that you have a direct line to the leader of the X-Men. But just in case we have this specific weapon in every police vehicle. Slap.
Apparently, Charles Xavier is a telepath who can communicate with the entire NASA control room in Florida from New York using just his mind.
And none of them.
But to contact the president, he needs a phone.
Yeah, he can't just go, "Meet the president." But no, yeah, he talks to the entire command center, and all of them are so cool with it.
Oh yeah.
Apparently, like, despite the fact that 5 years before in Apocalypse, his power is used to almost kill everyone on Earth using the mind whammy. So, like, you'd think that, yeah, all right, everyone knows that Charles Xavier can just talk to you at any point.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, A, incredibly invasive. B, you'd just be like, he's gonna fucking kill me any minute. He's gonna kill me any minute.
Oh, yeah, like, not like, there's that, there's the simple fact that, as established in Logan, when Professor Xavier gets old, a whole lot of people gonna die.
I kind of like...
Just because he gets old.
I do kind of like how they had that as... they sort of tied that into Jean's power awakening. Because she makes her mom pass out at the wheel.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's accurate. I can completely understand why you would be worried about Jean having freakouts. But they should have tied it in especially. And, like, later on as the Dark Phoenix comes through her, she should have given everyone, like, a minor seizure. And, like, that should have been the, like, oh, God, she's an actual threat.
Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.